We've got 6:30, so I'm going to call to order the February 1st Lake Rivera City Council meeting. I do have to say, I know it gets a little repetitive, but due to COVID-19 pandemic, we are continuing to take steps to follow federal, state, and local guidelines regarding social distancing and crowd size. If attendance at city meetings is not essential, we strongly encourage you to listen to the meeting via live Zoom. City Hall will be open for City Council meeting with limited seating and social distancing guidelines in place. Face masks are required while in the building. Public comment will be accepted both in person at City Hall or by emailing City Clerk with comments or statements at clerk@lakerivera.kansas.gov by noon on Monday, February 1st. All governing body meetings will comply with the Kansas Open Meetings Act. Thank you for helping us keep our community safe. So, we will go on with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, and since we are on the Zoom call, the Zoom meeting again, and everybody's wearing masks, I just remind you guys to speak up if you're called upon or if you have any comments. Therefore, we will go to item number 3, recognized visitors. Sally Chu, I noticed you were the first one in here. Do you have any public comments or questions? Okay, just here to observe. Dean or Bill? Nothing? All right, that's easy. We'll go to item number 4, which is consider approval of minutes from the January 4th City Council meeting. Everybody get a chance to read those. I know I did. I did have one question I think Kathy cleared out, but Bill, your new title, we've got Stormwater and Infrastructure Program
Manager.
Okay. All right. Never mind then. Anybody see anything else in regards to the minutes? Need to be amended or changed? No? Well, then, if that's the case, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the January 4th meeting.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from the January 4th, 2021.
Got a motion from Gail. Got a second?
I second.
Any seconds? Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Minutes approved. Moving along to Aaron Lecky and the Treasurer's Report.
Okay. You should have all received the Treasurer's Report for January. We came in 0.6% below budget. A little below what we were expecting for court fines, but that one, as you know, is going to be the roller coaster. And then we were 9.3% over budget for expenses, but there's so little in the budget so far at this time of the year that that's not a huge shock or a concern.
Not concerned about it?
Nope.
Okay.
A lot of that also had to do with paying a bill from 2020 from Opti on that project, and Johnson County, since it was... We didn't receive it till January, but it was mailed out in December of 2020. Johnson County is still going to turn around and pay for 75% of that per our stormwater agreement.
Okay.
So that should even out those numbers.
Okay,
well.
Good.
And then, of course, the monthly detail would be the same as the year-to-date detail. So then moving on to checks. Really one of... There weren't very many I saw that I wanted to
bring up. Easier to use.
I'm getting a password reset. I can't get in. It's making my computer harder to use. I'm making it easier to use.
I'd like to have a little guy that tells me, make your computer easier to use.
I'm not going to lie. I thought that was Dave and, like, really robotic. really, the main one that I wanted to point out was on page 4. The $17,000 rainbow fireworks, so the 4th of July can happen.
Yes.
That always feels like a good one. On that same page 4, you'll see the $15,000 to Opti. That's the one that we should be receiving 75% of that back from the county. think that was the only one that I saw. And then our big one for our workers' comp insurance is on page 5. That's the Kansas Municipal Insurance Trust payment. And then on page 6, of course, the travelers, which covers pretty much any other kind of insurance, including the fiber policy. As far as the deposits, there wasn't anything out of the ordinary. And the credit card detail is attached. Only journal entry was related to seed fee. Interest from the third and fourth quarter to the CD that we have, and then repayment of a performance bond deposit for a building permit.
Okay. Other than that, just typical January?
Typical January.
Okay. Started out the year good?
Yep. Started well. And Kathy and Fred and I had the audit last week and haven't received any preliminary reports from them, but they were in and out by 2 p.m. and seemed happy with everything. So
same guys, different companies, right?
Same company that we used last year.
Okay.
That was the one we've been using, Meishauser, and then the man, Sean Gordon, who was our main contact at Meishauser. Meis dropped their governmental auditing department completely.
Well, that's what it
was. So then he
got
it. We got a lot of education from the kid who was here with us. He was here last year and he was here this year. He was very talkative,
really,
and forthcoming with lots of information, and told us that pretty much when Sean Gordon started Gordon CPA, which is who we go with now, they got all of the small to mid-sized cities, and then one of the larger firms took the larger cities. So, yep.
Kid, but he's probably 23, 24, 25.
I think so. He's getting his master's degree at KU.
Gotcha.
Yep. He had food poisoning last year. He went into graphic detail to Kathy and I about that. So. Uber out of here.
Sorry, we missed
it. Yeah. He Ubered out of here and got sick in our parking lot, apparently. And he apologized to Kathy and I, and neither of us heard Uber. So.
Well, it's like you're ready to play the newlywed game with him.
Lots of information. Lots of information about him. Yep. Learned a lot about Dodge City, where he grew up, and
a lot to talk about. All right, any questions for Aaron or in regards to the treasurer's report or anything? No. Okay. I'd entertain a motion to approve that.
Would it make a motion to approve the treasurer's report for the month of December?
Second. Got a motion?
January.
I got a second.
January,
correct?
Yes.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor? Those opposed? Okay, treasurer's report passes.
He did compliment us on the upgrade to City Hall. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. That's a feel good thing. Good. Yep. Okay, we are going to go move on now to Bill Cole, our SIF report, Stormwater and Infrastructure Project Manager.
Thanks. Okay, there are three main topics: spillways, EAP, and general topics. Those are the three things I'd like to make sure we cover. There's no vote that I'm asking for at this time, but I want to make sure I answer all your questions and give you an update on where we stand. I have met with Dean concerning some of the commonality between the two entities and what I'm trying, suggesting. He came up with a great idea I want to kind of bounce off of you tonight in terms of how we address the downstream and some of the other issues that we talked about. But starting first with the spillway. Michelle, thank you very much. We have out our RFP, and we have response from all three of the interested bidders that they will be interested in responding. Now, that's, I think I can do a meeting Friday to get that, find out what we want. But they have the RFP in their hands. We have decided not to do the terms and conditions. They've all worked for municipals. They all understand when they see it, they should understand what they have to sign up for. And we'll explain that clearly on Friday. But we'll wait and do that with one entity that is the selected bidder. That gives us a little more opportunity to pressure them to select and to go with what we would like.
And you expect to have them selected at the end of February, by the March meeting?
Your March meeting, we will present to you, if everything goes like it should, the name of who we recommend you select for negotiations.
Okay.
and then we'll start on that. So that RFP is moving along. There's a planned schedule for that. It starts with this Friday when we have a walk down at the spillway, and we explain what we want from them. We give them a jump drive that has all of the data that we've collected over the last in the history of the dam, so they know what they're getting into. We'll ask for a few of the extras, like take a look at the west side, etc. We won't go through all of the details on the extras. We'll do that only with the winning bidder. And with the winning bidder, we are asking for terms and conditions and pricing on added services that we would need. So we'll have them locked into whatever those services are at that time. So that's moving forward. Bids would be due in 2 weeks after that. We'd evaluate for the third week. Tom and I would, from a technical and a commercial viewpoint, offer to the council. If there's any legal issues, we'll get with Michelle, but we'll wait and give you that offering. If you agree with that, great. The three bidders are Olson, McClure, and Black & Veatch. We're surprised Black & Veatch responded. They did. It shows how hungry the industry is at the moment, which is good. Let's see. Questions on spillway just to start with. Okay. If there's some that go in when we do the EAP, that would be great. I'd like to cover some of the general topics. First off, if you were here this weekend, you got an opportunity to see what Opti does for us. Go back and look at our pond, ditch, et cetera. It's full of water, and it did not release anything. It's now releasing at a very slow rate. And after we get through their 6 month of they've already commissioned, so now they need 6 months of data collection. I've talked with Dean about approaching them and putting more water into that when we get a rain so that there's less dirt that's showing. And we hold the water for a longer period. The second thing is when Dean and the budget from the Q Inc. comes out dealing with what they're going to dredge in 22 or 23, that'll tell us how we can even out the bottom of that so that we can collect on a general basis and it looks more like a, quote, pond than looks like now when it's drained. Yeah.
Okay, so I assume, Dean, you've probably been getting calls regarding, you know, that pond when it's low.
Yeah.
Okay. So just so I'm right, we're not going to do anything with that as far as dredging or anything until 2022?
Depends on his budget. I don't think we do have any.
Yeah, it'll be 2022 at the earliest.
But 6 months from now, we can talk about at least raising it to
more water in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other part is, Mr. Cooper has explained to me how wonderful it is like it is now. So there's an underground feeling that you get more birds and wildlife that's there. But for the most part, when people walk by, it looks like a lagoon or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Something tires that people don't all agree on.
Tires and baby furniture are exquisite, so you can figure out how to get some of those things out of there.
Okay.
Okay, the other top. So Opti is doing what it's supposed to. We have but that also makes QH's job more difficult in terms of how more often we need to dredge. So keep that in mind. We all need to think about long-term the other pond. Retention pond as a second example of what we can look for. And then third, approaching our SMAC folks 2 years down the road or so when we say the area where number 12 and the creek that crosses there, where that water stands on that road when we have heaviest rains.
Right.
That's probably our number one spot. And that has been, it is in the list. I've gotten it into the list of stormwater projects that rate as the highest hazard. So we switched from saving houses businesses to saving roads. That's the new focus of all of the watersheds. So that allows us to go look at that one and possibly putting some type of retention in that tree covered area or changing the complexion. And again, that's got to work out completely with Q Inc. in terms of if they want to do some of that and how we tie it in with what they're doing. And 12 and 13 in the water pool around. I think that was right. Yep. Okay, stormwater annual report will cost us a little bit of money again. It's a function we have to go through to see did we pass out all of our little baggies for the dogs to use? Did we have we publicized? And I'd like to do a better job with the garden club of getting some of their water barrels, the rain barrels, and other things done so I may coordinate more. Just we've got to get this publicized out there. We do have those avenues now more clearly with the Q letter. Newsletter that comes out, just so we're looking at the ways that we can help to, at the household, control more stormwater runoff. Okay, EAP. That's the Emergency Action Plan. Tom has completed the first draft of it. We finished that today. He and I reviewed it. We have a list of about 10 questions. Some of these are ones that the council may want to take a position with. A couple of things fit into this at this point. Number one, the city owns the dam. And if you look at the actual property boundaries that are on that, I would suggest that long term we reflect further to make sure that encompasses the dam and the spillways. Because it is a very gross example. It is a rectangle. And it's not marked or labeled or anything else. So it's much more of a generic Wyandotte County description versus a more detailed Johnson County description. If that's okay for people to understand what I mean. We need to make sure we have a clear distinction between the city's ownership and Q Inc.'s ownership, mainly for protection of Q Inc. in terms of, and also our property. What are we responsible for? What are they responsible for?
So you're saying we don't really have that clear distinction now, and as we move forward and...
Yeah, this is down the road. This is not a critical thing, but we need to look at that to make sure that rectangle actually encompasses our dam and a new spillway, if we have a new spillway. I don't believe it was adjusted when we put in the emergency spillway, for instance. So half of it might be on Dean's property, not ours, in terms of community. So we got to think about those kind of things. And if we do something with the spillway, the current spillway, which would be retired, do we keep it? And I think the answer is yes, but that's a longer-term issue, but one we've got to address. Okay. The second issue deals with meeting the requirements that FEMA and that the state of Kansas have put in the last 3 to 5 years. Our current one is completely outdated, and we have 10 sections, 29 pages, and it covers it in detail. Let me offer a couple of things that are a Class A hazard dam. We're probably the only one in the state that does not have lighting. Why do you need lighting on a dam?
Emergency happens at night.
Bingo. That's why you need lighting on a dam. Now, do we need lighting on our dam? Every other dam that has a road on it, not every other, most of the high hazard dams that have a road on it have what? Lighting on it. Most of them have water gauges that are the electronic ones that are at the dam, not on the other side of the lake. These are three ones that, for aesthetic reasons, we may not have that, but we need to think about how we're going to address that. Now, everything I just said has something to do with the city, but it also has something definitely to do with Q Inc. So we have to have a coordinated approach to how we do those. Now, if we don't have lighting, do we have lighting available to us? Right? Do you have lights? Hundreds of them that we can put up to see how much water is flowing over the dam. Okay. How do we make sure we are able to get those rented in time if we had an incident? I'm being a little facetious, but we got to think about what happens at the end of a tragedy. We don't try to solve the tragedy. What do we go looking for? And if you'd like to check in Michigan right now, there's a city and there's a dam operator and their insurance company is going wild looking for the
where do we place blame?
Right.
Yep.
So I'm trying to make sure that, and that's the least thing that could happen. The potential of our dam failing is very, very extreme. The potential of our dam being overtopped, especially with what we're doing to the spillway, is beyond extreme. Mm-hmm. But they could. So what are we going to do? And it's not necessarily the road down here, even though the state counts the road as. It's what BNSF is going to be saying to Q Inc., about what happened to the dam they operated that we owned. And that's the main thing I'm really interested as a member and a owner out here and as a subcontractor to you all. I think if we need to give some thought to making sure our T's are crossed and I's are dotted. That's the main thing I'm doing. All right, throw into that complexion, we are a member of the Johnson County Emergency Response Group. So when blank happens, you call Johnson County. The dam is where?
Wyandotte
County, who has much less, we're not even listed in Wyandotte County's emergency response area. So when I asked Erin, I said, okay, how are we going to handle this? She asked and went to Johnson County and said, what are we going to do? And she got the great answer. We're going to take care of everything, and you guys coordinate with Wyandotte County. So we need to be on both emergency responses. Because when a dam hits a certain level of emergency, it's no longer Fred who's the incident commander in most cases. It goes to an entire infrastructure that both counties have in place to deal with emergencies. What's the biggest emergency we have in this region? Tornadoes. So we're designed for a tornado response for the most part. Floods would be right behind it. But dam breakage is way down the list, but it is still their responsibility. Incident commander, highway patrol, when we block Holiday Drive, when we tell BNSF, you can't put any trains on that route, when we tell the Missouri River Authority how much water is going to come in at one incident, all those types of things have to be done, and there's a plan for all of that at the county levels. And what we need to do is decide at what time do we want the county in here. Now, if a prior council member was very clear that we want the state out of our business whenever we can, I personally agree with that. But what's the number we get to? We have numbers that right now on our monitors, when it hits a number, the people are warned. Okay, when it's another number, more people are warned. When it's another number, it's Katie bar the door, we got to do what we're supposed to. But we don't have a plan behind what are we going to do established. And those things go all the way through from when the 12 docks are blocked up against the spillway and there's no water getting out the spillway, who's responsible for that? How do we protect against that? Again, I'm giving you three, oh my God, situations. Are they going to happen? They've happened once here. Where if any of you can remember back, I can't, but somebody can, where the docks were airborne and floating out in the middle of the lake. Lots of them. And the water was right up to the top. And those are all situations that this is supposed to plan towards. But the major issue is for us to make sure, our paperwork is done correctly and our yearly work of coordinating the dam protection is done correctly. That's the main thing I'm interested in, making sure this document does. Now, we have about 10 questions that Tom and I have to work through this week, this month, and come back to you, we hope, with a completed document. But what we're mostly after from this group is a couple of numbers for us to think about. And again, I'm asking you this without you understanding what that knowledge is. But those are 629.0. That's when this dam has 1 inch of water before it goes over the top. Okay? 627.5 is when we call the counties. That's Tom's and my recommendation. 627.5. 625.5 is when we call the counties and say, heads up, incoming. I'm giving you, you would say those nicely, but that's how they would be expressed. Now, that's our go-to position with those two counties to say, we want help. Now, depending on how the counties react, because it's a negotiation that goes on, they may say, hey, 625, we got it. And we say, thank you very much. But then we got to realize we're not responsible for the dam anymore. They are. And there are some cases where they will cut holes in a dam. Why? To control flow versus what? And he doesn't have responsibility, and I don't have responsibility, he does not have responsibility at that particular point. So we need to think about when we want to do that. So our answer is that 627.5 is when we're going to ask for their help and relinquish control of the dam. Okay? And again, we've got these elevations verified. And then we need to get a consistent level of what those levels are. Our level monitoring is not the same numbers. It's the same sequence, if I follow what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But it is not the exact same numbers. So, we've gotten much more exact in how we measure things now than we did 10 years ago, even 20 years ago. But all we're asking for is that, and I'm asking you to answer something that you don't have all the data on, but we're thinking that's a reasonable number to say we need help. Versus the number that we're going to control, getting George out of bed and getting Dean moved out of all the furniture out of the basement.
Or not.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But we still have answers of, the one I gave you of just how many docks floating up against the spillway and what are we going to do? How do we get those off? And do we have a boat to do that? Okay. There are a number of other things. We need a measure out there that tells us how deep the water is. It can't be an electronic. It needs to be physical. And we don't have one because I've been told in years past, we don't want something that's got a number on it like that. But if you go to any Class A area, Class A level dam, there is something near the spillway or the dam that shows exactly what the level is physically. And everything down to, where are we going to meet to go over this? Tom, and again, just as an example, Tom said, I've changed the font to 15. I said, well, why would you do that? It takes more paper. He said, have you ever been in the back of a car with limited lighting in the middle of the night trying to read the emergency action plan with three other guys and a flashlight? I said, okay. That makes sense. So little things like that are ones that I think we've got to consider and then never consider again except once a year when we play games. Okay. What's the most important thing to this place? The lake. That's all we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm asking for is for you to consider, if there's any objection to that, if you please let me know. We'll do a number of things. For instance, the best place for us to have our emergency response center is probably the community center. It's not going to wash away. If it does, we're all gone. We can actually see what's going on from upstairs.
Right.
And it's large. Okay. We had places, you know, that's one of the things to think about. But does it have emergency power? Can you have permission to use it? But everything we're going to try and do, we coordinate with QEEN, because this has got to be a joint operation. Get into that that particular point. What Dean and I talked about was having a, and Dean, when you and I talked, it was a lake, dam, spillway, downstream group, committee, team, something. Sorry. Quivira Watershed. Blank. That's what I think we should call it. Because it's trying to control what's coming into the lake, what's in the lake, the dam, the spillway, and what's below the lake. And it should have on it, just that from the top down, you two, as like executive members or pro tem or whatever, whoever runs the Q Inc. residential, I believe the young lady to my
lake
left.
And residential.
Lake and residential. I think it should have the Smacky on it. And sorry, I think Smack Guy should be, I'm not on her committee, but at least associated with that committee so we can work on some of those things. That was just a thought I had. And then I think it needs to have Aaron and Fred. Now, I'm not on here, but the Smack Guy's on it, so I'm on there. But whoever's the Smack. And then our responsible party for lake maintenance, Brandon.
And then John.
I'm sorry, thank you, and John. So there's two people officially. I have three because I've got these two here, but they're the doers from the city side, just as Brandon would be the doers from the city side.
Right.
Queuing side. And all that, everything involved in that is, I don't know if I can give management authority to those people. I think that's merely advisory, but we got to decide what the level of authority those people have to speak for both groups. But I think that's the key group that needs to be worked on and established. Now, we need one person who's the live operator of the dam, and I think it's Brandon. Opens gates, closes gates. Checks the bladder if we're putting in this new device, that type of stuff. And then he has to have a backup, and that backup is the Smack guy. That's what I'm thinking are the two. Or it's in your group.
Yeah. Well, either one of us.
But see, now there's that's a good point.
Yeah.
Smack has nothing to do with Q Inc. Now, I just made Q Inc. the operator of your dam. What are you paying to check everything once a month? We pay them to do this.
We need to talk about that.
And that's one of the things.
Thanks, Bill.
Sorry, that's one of the things. If you do it, if we go with that, that's probably a better way. Just a Smack person is not, because then it's completely in QEEN's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But when BNSF has no trains here for 3 months while they're fixing the lines, that's a private entity, right?
Yeah.
And this is a public entity. We've done everything we're supposed to. We're probably good to go. If we've done everything we're supposed to, and so have they, they're still in trouble. But that's part of what we do to have the QEEN.
Right.
Okay. Now, I've covered a lot of stuff. All, oh my God, stuff. But I want to make sure the significance of this is protecting the number one asset of this place. And trying to do it in the most economical way. So if something happened to the dam tomorrow, we're looking at our 2012 emergency action plan. I can guarantee you we would be struggling with liability protection, even as a city.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get us over. And by March, have you a draft, and by April, have it signed, sealed, and delivered so that we can work our project off of it for the spill.
Well, and I think when we talk about this, I think we're putting everything at risk. We're putting both the city and Q Inc.
Yes.
at a major
right.
incident. We're putting the two entities to run everything that we do out here at pretty big liability.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of why we discussed, you know, having that committee or having at least something that can meet quarterly and, you know, have these things up to date, make sure we're on a yearly plan, doing what we need to do to avoid, although the odds are astronomical, but if it ever did, it would potentially wipe out everything that we work for on
you
know, with both entities.
Yeah.
We can't risk that.
We'll constantly look for places to get money out of people that require things of you.
Right.
Aaron did a great job last week of going to a conference and talking about monies, and we're too rich. That's, you know, we still look, okay, because some of these are required, and we may be able to get some funding.
I don't know if it was a great job, because all I got was a bunch of no's, but still.
Just we know what the no's are.
I was told that our best bet would be cross our fingers that FEMA stops having to pay for wildfire damage and COVID relief and then can divert money back to dams like they did in 2018.
Right.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I agree with the committee or whatever you want to call it. Have the current GM, the current mayor, you know, Sally, at some point you're not going to be on the board. So I don't know if you want to do head of Lake and Residential, somehow work it out to where it just falls into place so we don't have to keep going back every year, you know, asking people to volunteer, that type of deal. So
it does bring up one thing that I know it should be queuing for the city of Hope, but we do need some type of volunteer organization to handle the blanks that go on. And, I mean, you could do everything from, I don't know, how we handle I'm talking about physical things. Who are the three folks that are on the other side of the dam not letting anybody go across?
Yeah.
Who runs that gate there to make sure anybody gets in? But anything that the queuing needs help with or the city needs help with in an emergency. And I don't know if we have that in place right now. And we have such a turnover of people that we no longer have a heritage of that.
Right.
That makes
no
sense.
Volunteer fire department. I mean,
exactly.
That would have been.
Yeah, that would have been so
natural.
Easy.
Yeah.
You would hope that Shawnee could get out here, but if for some reason they could not, then yes.
Well, there was talk when the fire department shut down about kind of like a citizens, like, you know, concerned citizens group that would do stuff like that. And
big limbs in the road or, you know, during after a
Yeah, so everything from, you know, steering traffic at the parade to, you know, something like what Bill's talking about. And there were seeds planted and it just never really kind of materialized.
We have a very defined mother's club. I know we also have a father's club that has a wonderful one-night event, and it would be great if they would adopt a more substantial...
We know who those people are.
I think they're both very well-defined.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
One of them promotes the good, and the other one camps out.
That's my report.
That's not a bad idea, though. Mother's club, father's club, getting together. And
I think the mother's club president should just automatically be the de facto leader of the concerned citizens. Chances are they could, I don't even know who is the mother's
club. Katie Ghostman, Lauren Lawrence, and Liz Wolf. So
actually, you know what? I think we should make the husbands of four of the Mothers Club are officially the Concerned Citizen Task Force chairs.
Can I second that motion?
Vince and Tyler and Eric. There you go.
But seriously, I mean.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
This is something that we probably ought to explore and get something in place.
John, you're right. We did talk about it once the volunteer fire department disbanded, but then nothing ever came out of it. And at the time, I think we just did not see a need. But once again, why?
Well, and I have
do it after a need arises. Why not have it in place?
And Ben and I reached out to a few of the kind of the hardcore fire department guys, and I think it was the shock of the, you know, I think it was still too new, too raw, too, whatever for them to think. But, you know, guys like,
Bill Byron,
you know, Bill and JR, you know, maybe now that some time's passed, that might be back in their blood a little bit.
I know in the past we've reached out to like Charlie Gilmer and those type of people to help, do parade turnarounds.
Yep.
Him and JR did. Parade turnaround 1 year with police at one end and then those two at a different one when we had to avoid the dam and it didn't go all the way around. But
Well, I'd be happy to help out if any council member is interested in doing that, or Aaron, you and I, or
either way,
just to get it started. Fred, any thoughts on that?
It's all great ideas, so keep moving forward.
Okay.
Keep
glad to put in input where I can.
I'm sorry, one last thing. David was interested in producing electricity. Tom and I have found a small turbine company. And when we do the piping, we hope that's on the waterfall side. We're going to explore whether or not that's possible. They have a very ingenious system. And so if David's listening, I hope he is, we might be able to do that.
Okay.
And expense matters.
Good.
I am with you. That's wonderful.
Okay. Thank you.
Because
of
the new lights that are
going to
go across the
dam.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying. Thinking about that email to Ray.
Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, if you talk about every one of those have cameras on them, spillway cameras,
yeah,
other things, because spillways are an interesting place for young males and skateboards.
Yeah.
I did ask him if there was any place possible in Johnson County to put the spillway because they do have money to help us out with the project, and he laughed at me.
Darn it.
Wanted to put that.
It's a good question. Okay. Any questions for Bill? So.
Thank you. I was
Sally,
I'm like a residential chair, and we talked a little bit about maybe there will be some openings coming up in March when we turn over, but some type of coordination with the city, with someone with his expertise to be on the committee. Also, Lakin Residential has representatives from the Garden Club, the Saddle Club, the Yacht Club, the Natural Resources Club. So it's kind of a combination representation club. So to maybe take on the safety. I think it's great to go to the Mother's Club, Father's Club, but everybody has demands on their time. So obviously you kind of need people that, one, have the expertise, but also have the time that they and availability to be able to react. If you have an emergency, if you got three little kids, you're probably not leaving three little kids. So, so just right out there, like in residential, maybe kind of work on some type of partnership or something in the future to make that happen. So,
okay.
I'm sorry, one last, thank you very much for raising that point. One last thing. Tom, of course, being the guy he is, said, well, where does this fit into the city's emergency response program? Okay. So if we have five houses on the backside of Quivira North, I'll say that because there's none up there, wiped out and there's, you know, five fatalities and 20 kids running around, what are we doing? Do we have a plan?
We did that FEMA training a couple of years ago, didn't we?
Yes.
Take some notes from that.
It dealt with the dam. It didn't deal with it. So his point was, this thing needs to dovetail with whatever the city has in place. And, you know, shooting on a street.
No, it dealt with the train derailment.
Train derailment chemicals released. That's what it was. That's
correct.
That's what we did. Is there a possibility of that? Much greater possibility in our city than any others in Johnson County.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to give some thought. No, I'm not drumming up business, but we got to think about some of this stuff to make sure we have in place. You know, anybody been deposed? You know where my brain is at all the time.
Well, that's the feel good report of
Thanks, Bill.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay. Look forward to the next meeting. I really do.
Debbie Downer will not attend the next meeting. Okay.
More contaminated.
You have to attend the next meeting because you told them that you were going to be disappointed.
Debbie will not be with me. Okay, all right.
You're
going
to need a vote. All right.
Move on from death to dismemberment.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Number 7, police chief report.
Everybody received a report. If they have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them off the tip. If not, I'll
have
to add.
And just to kind of piggyback on that, I take it was fairly easy just to get the report from Shawnee Fire Department here.
Yes. If I pull up his email, they're switching over to a new computer system. So he apologized for some of the lack of detail on this one.
Yeah.
I told him this was great for a first go-round.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was very vague, but if it can get better, then let's do that.
So it'll be monthly. That'll be just the standard process, and that he'll
Yeah, so he said the last one was, I told him, I said, if the summary, like a summary of 2020 numbers that you could get to me before the end of the month, and then either quarterly or monthly, whatever works great for you. And he was like, yeah, more than happy to do that. He said, we're trying to get a little more info, but this is what we have right now. We are continuing to try and develop better data mining options. So, yeah, they're, in, like I said, in the middle of switching over to a different system that he used in the city that he came from.
Yeah.
So he said after that, it would be really easy to just email me a monthly report.
I mean, I think monthly would be great, but, you know, there were, what, 44 total calls? So even if it was quarterly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if we had a question about a specific.
Yeah, he would, like, do you ever need me to come and give a yearly report in person? I'd be happy to do that or to send his deputy chief. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
They were more than happy to do that.
Well, good. Thanks for reaching out to him.
Yep.
Fred, thanks for your report. Any, no questions for Fred or? Moving along then, City Attorney's Report, Michelle Days. Good. We'll go to City Council Reports, and we'll start down there with Greg Pruitt.
I'm pretty quiet. I don't really have anything.
Okay.
Remember, we have quite a bit of money this year, just FYI.
The asphalt guys are not too excited about going outside right now.
Figured as much.
We were going to walk along Clear Lane. I was trying to figure out a way to, I don't want to tell them what's in our budget.
Yes.
But so, kind of like having got a bit different areas, trying to figure out how to get break something up so we can kind of decide what the day's bang for our buck.
Awesome.
All right. I actually should have started with Dave. Sorry about that. Dave McCullough, you want to go ahead?
You bet. The fuel station, I'll dive into that. Kathy and Fred and Brady and I had a good meeting with Hamilton Services. They were out to take a look at our back office computer system, which is evidently probably going to end up in a museum because it's so old. Basically what we've been doing is we've been measuring the tanks manually and doing the daily fuel logs. I've been doing that. And the process is really laborious, and that it doesn't seem like it's something that would be easily done or managed by the city to be in compliance with KDAG. So another option is to upgrade the computer system. So there's a company named Meterroot that is basically the Microsoft of fuel station management machines. So Hamilton Services is a company that will install and they will procure the machine and install it. And they came out and walked us through all the functionality of that machine. And Fred was able to call up, you know, some videos on YouTube on our new AV system in the city hall, and we were able to see what it's capable of doing. And it really will automate the entire reporting process that we need to do. So it seems that if we bring the management of it in-house, we absolutely need to make this upgrade. And in addition to that, it will run tank tests that we're currently paying $700-some a year to have done as it is now. So Hamilton was able to produce a bid just for the equipment. And Kathy was nice enough to upload that before the meeting today. I got it in very, very late. So thank you for that. Jeremy, who was out here with Hamilton, said that it was he would recommend getting a used one. They still have a six-month warranty on it. And then I talked with Steve Hamilton today. He recommended that as well. And again, that's just the hardware, and that was $7,831.50 plus tax for the used rebuilt machine. And again, that'll provide us every bit of reporting that we need to stay in compliance with the state. And it would also, what was I going to say? it's programmable, so they can set it up to run the reports any time of day we want. So when Kathy comes in the morning, the report for that day will be sitting on the printer, and that's really something that just needs to be filed. So moving on to the document that I had set up, basically knocking out the to-dos on the fuel station. You know, can we manage it ourselves? Can we stay in compliance with the state? And the answer to that would be yes, if we have this upgraded system. So Steve said that ballpark to get it installed with the used system would be between $15,000 and $18,000, well, with the rebuilt system. So if we look at the document that I put together with the gas station analysis, you guys have had a chance to read through this. You know, we've talked about this before, basically the same information, and nothing much has changed. You know, we own everything. We're responsible for everything. Terry has done a great job of keeping us all in compliance and managing the station, and, you know, he pays us the agreed-upon price. I get fuel reports that show what the wholesale price is of fuel, and bounce that against what the fuel is selling for around the town. And it varies greatly depending on, you know, how much price raises and drops after you buy the fuel. But the industry average is the profit margin is 22 cents a gallon. So if we were to bring this in-house and manage it ourselves, the revenue is estimated to be about $52,800 a year. You know, that would pay for the upkeep of the gas station, and you know, based on that estimate, would put some money in the revenue column. So our options are keep this current deal with Terry, try to rebid it, get a better deal, or just bring the operations in house. In order to do that, I think the main thing we need to do is document the processes and make sure we have more than one person trained on how to do this. We need to knock out what's the process for ordering the fuel, how do we determine how much we're going to charge, kind of the nuts and bolts businessy side of things. And then, you know, once we have that revenue stream coming in, you know, we can work on, you know, unification of the fuel station, putting out a digital sign, making it better. You know, what I would like to do is to get a detailed bid from Hamilton to present next month so we know exactly what we're getting and exactly what we're paying. And then, you know, we have a 90-day notice to Terry. That would give us time to put together the process of how we would manage it as a city. So it's really looking like I'm going to be heading toward likely a recommendation that we bring this in-house, and, you know, based on these numbers and based on this computer system, you know, the ROI would be about 6 months to pay for the upgrades, and then we could go from there. But I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on where we were, what the tangible costs look like they're going to be, and the fact that the manual process just was not going to work as far as, you know, the drag on people's time and just the amount of daily work that had to go into it. This eliminates that. So where I'm sitting right now is I'd like to hear from anybody who has, if there's something I've missed, if there's something you're wondering about, Michelle, if there's anything from a legal side that we need to be keeping our eye on.
I'm not hearing anything that's getting my attention other than we just need to make sure that we give proper notice to Terry. But, you know, I mean, we'll want to look through the documents in terms of, you know, when we actually purchased that, but I'm not seeing anything that's raising any concerns at this point. You guys have gone through the KDHE requirements and that. You guys have done a good job with that.
What about, Dave, additional risk or liability that the city would be taking on that currently, you know, Prescott is responsible for, and, you know, if there are any, can they be insured away or mitigated in some capacity?
That's I do need to reach out to Terry and see if he carries any other type of insurance, but since we own every bit of the gas station, it's our liability, but I will confirm that. It's a good question.
I'll reach out to Travelers and see what.
Let's do that. Make sure we have proper coverage.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of additional insurance that we would have to have.
No, I don't either.
And that was something that we talked about. What were you guys saying?
I don't even know if there is. I told Michelle that I would be more than happy to reach out to Travelers to see what our policy covers right now.
Yeah.
We pay for the underground tank storage.
Mm-hmm.
We have a separate policy on that that we already cover. I think we've asked him before to show us some type of proof, but what Michelle and I were just saying, we can imagine it being us needing much more than we already have.
Right.
Since, like they said, we own the tank now, so the liability would mostly fall on our shoulders anyway.
So, Dave, any concern about the age of the tanks? Would you recommend getting them inspected? I know we briefly talked about that.
They've passed their inspection every year. There's not a lot of good historical data on when they were installed and the state of, you know, what I haven't seen anything about what they're made out of or anything like that. But, you know, when Jeremy was here and he talked about the life of a fuel tank, he said, as long as it's installed really well, it can last decades. And ours have, and they've passed inspection every time. So, I think with every fuel station, that's probably the biggest risk is that you'd have to replace the underground fuel storage tanks. And that would be six figures to do that. But they do pass inspection and they are very, very, you know, they seem like they were installed the right way at the beginning. So there doesn't appear to be any risk that's above and beyond the normal risk of having an underground fuel tank.
As who, Dave, you would see, or what position or whatever, since the city would be, you know, owning this gas station, who would actually manage this? I mean, obviously, you've really invested a lot of time and you've learned a lot and gotten certified and all of this, been educated on this, but you know, where have you thought about where this actually falls within the city? Is it a council member that's managing this? You know, I mean, because you're not always going to have council members
like
that
puts the paper in it and trash cans.
I think Gail's talking just 4 or 5 years down the road when the council's different, Dave's not on council anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. We would require, you know, our police chief or building official to have a license, and you can get them online, our clerk, and then just require a council member as an area of responsibility to familiarize themselves, get the license, and, again.
But then the troubleshooting and all of that, I mean.
With the computer system. I mean, in my opinion, the Veeder-Root system wasn't overly complicated at all. I mean, it wasn't a touch screen. There were lots of dials and buttons. I mean, they look pretty simple. Getting help on that, assistance on that doesn't seem like a big deal. I'm more concerned about, like you said, if Dave's not here and he's got 4 years of saying, you know, looking at price of gasoline and saying, okay, we're going to charge this much this week and, you know, it changes each week or whatever. So we're going to, again, have to, Annie, we kind of talked about it today, getting things on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing there where we have turnover with staff, council members, just make sure that that's on there. So we did discuss it. That's a concern.
Because we don't really have a maintenance group here.
Right.
We have people that
wear many hats.
That do a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's not their job.
Right.
Well,
But if Kathy knows to program the reports to spit out once a day, once a week, whatever it is, what to file with the state, and then we've got Fred and Dave, you know, looking at prices and they're buying the fuel. And, we just need to figure out, you know, what sort of margin we want to make and adjust weekly or monthly or whatever it is, however often we purchase the fuel.
So you're saying like when the pumps go down and the computer's off and
Well, that stuff already is our responsibility. And so we just use Double Check, the company to come out.
Okay.
You know, they had to replace the hoses a couple weeks ago because they were cracked.
We ran into an issue was that last summer that I got a letter from KDHE saying we were out of compliance and that they were going to shut down the pumps immediately. And Turned out Terry had thought he had filed something that he hadn't.
Right.
So I, you know, rushed to call Terry and get that report and made sure it was filed. And then the state was like, okay, you're good now.
Yeah.
Like it went from complete, you remember that, complete one extreme to the next. And
right.
They were like, oh, yeah, just making sure we had it.
Yeah.
So they seem,
send a letter,
right? Yeah, easy to work with. Reminders. I think Kathy filled out most of the paperwork anyway at this point.
Yeah, so. I mean, we're doing a lot of the legwork here already.
Yes.
So I think I'm encouraged by it. I was encouraged by the meeting. We've got a month to think about it and for Dave to do a little bit more homework. And Michelle, if there's anything that you can think of that pops up.
I do think we need to double check on the insurance. That's going to be one of the main things.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, wrote that one down.
Okay.
Dave, I was also going to ask about the storage tanks, but after Brady asked about it, the more I was thinking about it, the more I think that we probably would end up paying for new fuel tanks anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, if that were to happen, if Terry were to come to us and say, tanks are shot, that would be on us regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we just wanted to get, you know, pull them out, get rid of the tanks, and get rid of the gas station. So. You know, I think our thinking is if we're going to have this, you know, convenient amenity for residents and, you know, we're already paying for maintenance and all this stuff, why not bring it in-house? You know, it's not like we're running a Quick Trip. We don't have any overhead. We're not trying to sell soft drinks and, you know, sandwiches and stuff. It's simply just a
as long as the next Fred at some point is able to do, you know.
Yeah, 25 years from now. But that's why it's important to keep that calendar, keep people certified.
So, I mean, based on what I'm hearing, I'm kind of curious, what does Terry do besides order the fuel, set the prices, and occasionally empty the trash or pay somebody to empty the trash?
Yes.
We'll pay for
we do the trash. He doesn't do any of that stuff anymore.
I mean,
so he changes the paper.
Alex does the trash. Yeah. Alex has even changed the paper before.
Well, shoot.
He flips the price on the signs every once in a while.
Six tanks. That's the
tanks.
So why is it from past councils that there was a real negative feeling about this? I mean, what was thought to be the risk?
You know, honestly, we never looked at bringing it in the house. I think Bill might have mentioned it. Bill and John.
I just raised my hand. I'd be happy to run it for you.
You and John Nelson had a meeting.
I'll lease it for $5,000.
Honestly, in the discussions in the past, the profit margin was never really identified.
Never.
Hats off to Dave for getting that information.
Yes.
Because that was the big piece of the puzzle that was never discussed. Or we never reach to that answer.
Yep.
Tim Perkins had it at one point, but I don't think he was ever public about sharing it. And yes,
I don't think he had. I think Tim's was more of an estimate than I think Dave has a little bit better calculation. So
that's a good point, Fred.
Dave, one question that I have for you: do you think that, I'm surprised that Terry has not asked us to switch to this Vitaroot system or something similar to it before now, if it makes filing things and items like that so much easier? Do you think that we are in compliance with everything that Terry is supposed to be doing at this point?
I would say that I have no reason to doubt it.
Okay.
You know, every KDHE is happy with us. We're certified. Yes, we're in, as far as I can tell with everything that he's done, he's keeping us in compliance.
Like I said, I'm just really surprised. He has no problem coming to us for $12,000 when, comp isn't working the way he wanted it to.
Yeah, why not at least come to us at some point to make his job easier?
Right.
Sticking the tanks. Hey, you guys need this meter. But he's never done that.
Fred
and then Bill.
It's my understanding that request had been made years ago.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Bill?
Just John Nelson had a pretty clear picture from running a marina.
Right.
As he was, and it's in the ballpark that Dave just talked about in terms of what the general pricing would be.
and his was a little higher because of the marina situation. But he did think that was a, he and I would be happy to do what Dave's doing right now, I think taking the city and doing it inside. Just make sure somebody's filling the window cleaner. That's all.
Yeah.
And I have one last one. Okay. And it's about, right now it's about $25,000 for the quick charge station when you're doing them in mass. In other words, you're doing them for a quick trip. And if you think about what we're doing here, if GM's not going to make any of these gas guzzlers after
10 years
yeah. from now, whatever it is, switching to electric, which doesn't impact a lot of us because we're going to be doing that at home, but it does impact the massive amount of traffic that's on that road that might need a quick shot. And that's going to be a whole other thing the city needs to think about is, are we in the electric business
right.
at that point? That's a whole other adventure.
Yeah.
And Dave, is in your research, is it 22 cents a gallon? I mean, is that kind of a fixed number regardless of oil costs or you know, it just seems odd to me that it would be 22 cents at $1.25 a gallon and 22 cents at $4.50 a gallon.
That's the average margin over the last 3 years. Okay. So your mileage may vary. You know, I have a client who owns some gas stations too, and I've just talked to him anecdotally about this, and he says the best thing for profit margin is low cost fuel, because no one's going to drive 5 miles to save 10 cents. You know, if it's $1.10 here, it's $1.06 at Quick Trip, no one's going to care. But if it's $4, then people start really looking around. So. That's anecdotally, but the number is the average on 22 cents. I talked to Steve Kopp, who works for Triangle Fuel, who is a fuel distributor. He said when they get financing done to open a new gas station somewhere, the number they use is 22 cents a gallon for the margin, and that's what the banks want. That's what the banks agree to. So. You know, it's going to change. You know, you're going to get, you know, there will be times likely when we'll be stuck. We'll buy a gas that's, you know, $1.90 a gallon, and the gas will drop, and, you know, it's selling for $1.75, and we'll just, you know, you have to bite the bullet until that tank goes low, and then you buy it at the lower price. And that doesn't happen a lot based on historical, you know, numbers. But, the 22 cents is an industry number.
Well, I guess so. But I mean, that's kind of on the lower end, and you're assuming 20 versus 30,000. So that $52,000 number is on the conservative end.
I didn't quite catch that.
I mean, I'm just with using an average margin and the low end of the average fuel per month, the $52,800 estimated revenue is actually pretty conservative.
Yes, that's true. And if we get, you know, there are a lot of variables here. If we get better at marketing, if we pretty up the gas station, you know, we kind of have a captive audience on Holiday Drive, but, you know, we might find ways to generate more usage of it, you know, give LQ residents a discount card or something like that. That's down the line, but then we get into the business of marketing versus, you know, just being a city.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dave. Good work. Any questions? All right. Thank you, Dave.
I have one more thing.
Go for it.
This is not really as exciting, but Brady passed along some feedback from a resident about that she had heard some what she thought was blasting at the landfill. So I checked in on that, and they do blasting at the landfill. They are licensed. They have a permit from the city of Shawnee, and they are required to stay within parameters. Shockwaves and decibels and things like that. So they sent me the report. I talked to one of the assistant fire chiefs there who handles the permitting, and they had the records of the last three blasts, which were December this past year, and then March, and then just one in January. So the most recent one in January was louder than the previous, but it was still within the parameters, so more just an FYI, if you hear any citizens asking about, you know, if they've heard blasting noises. The fire chief did say that he was glad that we circled back with him because it's good for the people doing the blasting to know that somebody's paying attention. So, again, they're within the parameters. It's something that people on the west side would hear more than on the east side, but it's really more of an FYI.
Yep. Good work, and thank you for responding to that resident. I think we've only got the one complaint. I haven't heard anybody else mention it. So, yeah, but that is good information to have in case you guys are asked, is there blasting going on? Yes. They have a permit. They've got their guidelines, all that type of stuff. So, yep. Thanks, Dave.
That's all I got.
Okay, go. Annie, you are up.
Okay, well, first off, we're in the middle of performance reviews, so thank you everybody for submitting feedback. And they're scheduled for this week. We got Fred's done today, and Kathy's is tomorrow, and Aaron's is on Friday. So, Fred's went, I mean, they're great sessions because we have a chance to share both ways, so. Anyways, we're moving along, so thank you everybody on that. The other thing I wanted to report on was I still call it the tree ordinance committee, but it's kind of not really a tree ordinance committee anymore. It's kind of evolved into something a little broader, but I think it's a great product. Dean's part of the committee, and we've got Kathy Simpson lined up. She's the one who produced the Breeze newsletter, and her and I met yesterday on an editorial content outline and got some great articles that will be coming. The idea is to produce something that comes out around Earth Day, around Arbor Day, around in there. And it's really, the scope of it is much broader than just the trees. It's helping just educate people about all the natural resources, things that we have in place here at Quivira, and giving focus to all of it from a perspective of, that's why we live out here, is it's, there's lots of things that contribute to why you love it out here so much, and just making people aware of all of those different assets that we've got going. And then doing things like helping people understand why it's not a good idea to top off your tree, why it's not a good idea, you know, just instead of coming at it from an attack perspective via an ordinance, which we probably couldn't have supported financially or resource-wise, we felt like this is more of an end around and really helping just educate people so that they're aware. Some people don't even know what that all means. And maybe some of them do, but we're going to act like they don't know. So anyway, that's moving forward. And I feel we've got lots of people looped in, lots of subject matter experts. The Trails Committee's engaged, Garden Club, Dr. Cooper, just a lot of people who have had a lot of input in our natural resources over the years and have really created some incredible things that a lot of people don't know about. You know, all the habitat stuff that Dr. Cooper is, the Audubon, you know, all of that is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's really incredible. So anyway, that's coming.
And real quick, I was blown away at the amount of content that you guys discussed at your meeting and the ideas that you guys have. And the amount of people involved. I mean, it's pretty exciting. Bill mentioned earlier about getting stormwater information out to residents. Would that be something that you could incorporate?
I see this thing. So this is going to be like the first sort of evergreen. It's not going to have like calendar stuff. It's more information
right. That
will last for a while. We give it to new residents, existing residents, maybe some contractors, new homeowners. And then I think there'd be some other things spinning off of this or some additional things that we would do maybe 6 months, a year down the road. But, you know, I think it's part of a bigger theme that we're trying to tag it to like Lake Quivira Green, something around this green effort and incorporate, you know, Fred Braun Day, recycling efforts. You know, it's bigger than just the trees. Yeah, so I think absolutely when you said that too, Bill, I thought the same thing. You said at some point we need to incorporate that. But the idea is to get people thinking, yes, our lake is vitally important. Our golf course is vital. But our woodlands, in light of COVID, I think has really raised and elevated the importance to everybody about how these open green or the green areas are to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the back areas.
Yeah.
So, So anyway, if anybody has any questions or feedback, or shoot me a note, but that is moving forward, so we hope to have something published here in the next couple months. One of the things, though, of this is that a newsletter costs money. So I wanted to see, and Aaron, I was going to ask you if from the Quiberon, we have budget for the Quiberon.
Yep.
So this, we think, is going to cost around $3,000. It's probably a little bit on the high end.
Mm-hmm.
Be between $25,000 and $3,000 for us to publish like 800 is newsletter. It would be like a kind of like the Quiberon sort of layout, 12-page.
Yep.
So, and I didn't know if the city could fund all of it or a portion of it. If whatever we could, then if we couldn't do the whole thing, I would maybe look to Q-Inc if they could help put some money in.
And then just frame of reference, it's probably more like that LQ Breeze that came out.
Yes, yeah.
Post-Quiberon.
Which everybody loved that I talked to.
Right, yeah. And so, yeah.
It's a little smaller, you probably didn't know, but it's a little smaller format size-wise, but mm-hmm. it's affordable.
Yeah.
And more in that style.
And we've got the photo club engaged, so they'll be doing the whole tree, wildlife shoot, mm-hmm. shots, and incorporating that. They'll be colored.
So if it stays right around three, I think that would be fine.
You think we could do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Awesome. Because we would pay essentially a little over $1,000 quarterly to the Quiberon. So we kept, I think we cut our budget number by a little bit, but our budget number still is at $6,000 for publication. And that covers anything for the building side that they do as far as like zoning or variances or anything that needs to be published. But those are very minimal. So I think $3,000, you should be fine with that.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yep. Do we need to be concerned? I hope we can. That sounds awesome. Is there a Quiberon in the works, a Breeze in the works, or do we know if that's...
Not to my knowledge, not
no.
to...
No, and, you know, so I'm working with Kathy, who generated that other, and I don't think she personally wants to take over. It's too much for her, but this was mm-hmm. perfect because it's very targeted. She's pulling in the same same writers, so we're going to partner up a writer with a content expert so the content expert doesn't have to write the article
mm-hmm.
and work it that way. So, and this has a, you know, end of April, so, but I don't think that other has been addressed yet, has it, Dean, the long-term idea of what we're going to do.
No, nothing more than rumor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's exactly, yeah. So,
and I did not budget for Quiberon, but I'm sure that Q-Inc, given the content, we'll have some expense involved. I doubt we'll take on the whole three.
Okay, awesome.
We can talk
about that later. You love it now.
Thanks, Dean.
Yep, so.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
Annie, did we ever get any place, or Dean, I don't know which one of you guys, with the Tree City application and getting that stuff into Kim? And
yeah, Todd's working on it.
Perfect.
Yep.
Thank you. Just wanted to double check. I have never heard back from Todd.
I'll ask him.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If he needs anything from me, because yep. I know that, why am I blanking on her name?
Lori,
thank you. Lori would always come down and kind of ask me a couple of questions, so if there's anything yeah. that
he needs. You know what, actually, he did mention last week that he made the call, and basically, he said it's not that difficult to go through the process, go with Ducks in a Row, talk to the contacts.
Awesome.
Make sure that they knew that he's the new superintendent.
Perfect.
Updated contact information. He sees that it's very easy.
Okay.
Process, so.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, I did not recall that conversation.
No, you are totally fine. I just wanted to double check to make sure he wasn't
yeah.
waiting on anything from
us.
Or
actually did bring it up last week.
Perfect.
And then just my last thing is the celebration. We're still on target. We met after the last city council meeting, Kathy, Gail, Mike, and I. So that's moving forward. We don't have to do anything right now, but we got the band in order, and so we'll keep working on that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the band check was on the check detail.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
So forgot yeah. to mention that one, but yes.
They got some good ideas coming. It should be a fun party. So.
Yeah.
Thanks, Annie.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Good job. John?
I'm going to be brief. Firework check is done, and I was basically going to give the same report Bill did word for word, but he stole my thunder, so, you know, that's kind of not.
Hey, I emailed you. Okay.
Bill makes me look good on the damn stuff, so thanks, Bill.
All
John, I don't know if you could really pull off that negativity quite the same, though.
So. That's true. I'm still, like, trying to channel, like, a Hallmark movie to cleanse my soul that's been...
It was not.
Burning, but hey, burning yeah. children.
I say
right
he's,
away
being realist. He's being a realist. He's looking out for us. All right.
You ever been sued by a railroad? Come on.
I can't say that happened just yet.
No, I'd rather never be. So.
All right. Well, good thing. That's the most important thing of the year is a firework. So, well done.
The first thing I noted on the check detail.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. All right, Gail.
Okay. I met today with the estimator who's been with this company for 25 years. This is a K&G striping company. And they've been around for many, many, many years. And they started out as a road striping company. But then over the years, and they did that for municipalities and stuff, and over the years, they've just added a lot of other things. And now they do tons and tons of the signs, you know, the traffic signs and all of that on the streets, all kinds of signs and the posts and all that. I mentioned that a little bit last month, but I did meet with him today, and we took we drove around my car, and I took him up on Renner Road, and he was pretty amazed at our signs.
Are we lacking or just?
Yeah, really bad signs. Really bad signs. And they're not compliant. And Fred and I had a chat about this too, because I had asked Fred, well, I'm assuming where our signs are and the heights and all of that, that's all compliant. And, you know, he said you would be very surprised. And there are some signs that are like, you know, couple inches off the off the ground. I mean, so anyway, we went around and looked at all of them, and down Renner, starting up where we enter, we started where we entered where it says, you know, City of Lake Quivira. So we went there, and then we went down Holiday east and west, and then up Quivira Road, or Quivira Lane. And basically, I counted 30 signs, I think, on just the last I looked, just partially 30. But then this morning I started counting them, and just two of the roads were 67 signs. I thought, oh my God. So he estimates about 80 signs that we have, and that is outside of our gates.
Oh my God.
And then
80.
And so, and that's, you know, like posts, and posts have multiple signs on them. And I will say on Renner Road, as I was going up there and really looking at it, you know, where the big house is, they must have had, I know over the years they've had a lot of construction up there years ago, and so there's a lot of signs that say no parking, like anybody would ever park on Renner Road. So maybe we can get rid of a few things, but... So then we drove into Lake Quivira inside the gates. So we just took a swing around Lakeshore, and so that he could see, not that this would necessarily fall into this first project, so that we could see what kind of signage we have in there related to stop signs or yield signs, or, you know, there's some. And I know we always say that we're responsible for the three dams. But from a traffic standpoint and stop signs, I really wasn't sure whose responsibility that was. You know, at the end of each of the streets that feed into Lakeshore, there's stop signs. They're not necessarily the right heights. They're old. They're, you know, so is that our responsibility? No. Okay, so that's Q Inc. But anyway, he is going to give us an estimate. It'll be in, and I told him I thought it would be in two parts. And so, Dean, I would just be sharing that with you and or the board, you know,
sure.
Share it with the board and all that. So basically, he will have an estimate sometime this week,
And they use, basically they do this for, they install and provide all the, you know, the sign, the actual posts and the signs for almost every municipality. I got the impression from talking to the lady, you know, that I talked to initially that, you know, a lot of that installation is done by the public works within the cities, and some is, but they do a lot of it. And so they always use, and it's called the Telestar post, and it's a 1 7/4 inch square, and it's galvanized, 14 gauge galvanized. And there's actually three parts. I thought, because I'd seen pictures in U-line of these, and I thought the anchor was like, you know, an anchor, and sometimes that you would put it in concrete, but they never put anything in concrete because if something hits it, I mean, you know, then it's not really, I guess, like a breakaway, I guess. Mm-hmm. But basically that piece that goes in the ground is 3 feet long and it only sticks up, you know, about this far. And so they pound it in and they would, of course, it wouldn't cost anything to get all of the utilities. They would arrange for all the utilities to come out and market and all of that. And then they would do everything exactly according to rule.
So we would be compliant with all of
our... Totally compliant. I mean, because... You know, and anywhere like on holiday where if there's curbing like across mm-hmm. the street, now parts of that wouldn't be ours necessarily. You know, and we have to figure
That's
out what's ours because
point, yeah.
you have to put it within X many inches of the curb and, mm-hmm. you know. So I felt really good, you know, about that. The signs, all of the cities except for Overland Park, who I understand is trying to outdo all the other cities, they all use the high-intensity signage. And that is, so there's three kinds of signs. There's the engineered grade, the high-intensity, and then the diamond level, which is what Overland Park does, and which is like double the money, you know. And the high-intensity, though, you know, it will really shine and light up well at night. Mm-hmm. I don't know where we're getting our signs, but I would imagine we're just, I mean, you didn't really know either, did you, Fred?
I don't know off the top of my head from where I've ordered the last time, but I know I did get compliments when I added those red strips to the stop signs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That would have been probably 5-6 years ago.
And we looked at that, and I asked him while we were sitting in my car out here, and I was, you know, I was talking to him, and I could see that stop sign. I said, well, I know we added the red because, you know, people come down, and it's hard to see. And basically, the stop sign itself is like 16 inches. It's totally way, way smaller than a stop sign should be, which... So anyway, he's gonna.
Not at all. And I'm pretty sure we got most of our signs from Tim Perkins.
I was going to say, I thought Tim bought.
So, but anyway, we'll get an estimate, and it'll take them. So it's you know, when you start adding this, because I went on again, I just went online to Uline and just looked at what some of these parts and pieces cost, and I didn't realize that they actually then put a third piece, which is a sleeve that goes around, you know, like the 7 foot post, mm-hmm. and there's the 3 foot in the ground, and then there's an actual. What they do, an actual sleeve that goes around, you know, that keeps it all much better in place.
It sounds super expensive.
Yeah. 80-some signs, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think, and again, some of our posts wouldn't be as tall as others, and you could put as many, you know, you can have multiple signs on a post. Anyway, he's gonna go out on Google Map or Google Car. I think you can actually pretend you're driving.
He'll be able to street view thing, but yeah,
assuming that our area has been Googled.
Mm-hmm.
you know, so he's going to be able to see exactly where all the signs are, and he'll give me the real number. And
he should be able to. They came out a couple of years ago because we got a notification that they were updating and wanted to make sure we knew that they were supposed to be out there and not talking.
And then I put in a later call to him because when we were driving up Quivira Lane, you were mentioning your, you know, the asphalting and stuff. I wondered if we needed to take care of Quivira Lane in all of its, you know, worldliness before actually putting these new, and he says no. He said if you were actually laying, like starting from scratch and laying an entire, like, you know, I guess this is all going to be just an overlay, probably.
I was going to have a bid, give us, provide a handful of different bids and options.
Okay.
Different areas that I doubt we have enough to go from point A to the end of point B.
Correct. We do not. Same with the entire experience.
It's going to be hard to get the nastiest spot for the whole thing, so it's,
But anyway, that doesn't matter. It sounds like that doesn't matter.
Okay.
You know, they can, you know, everybody's always repairing the roads and stuff. So I will get that. And I guess the question would be, you know, we have our 94,000. This wouldn't be 94,000.
Yeah, okay. I'm not surprised.
No, so if you look at the post, you know, I was looking at each post would be $100. Okay. And surely we won't really need 80. We will need.
Or they'll give us a break on price if we're buying.
And I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, and this is going on a new line and just looking retail.
Right. Yeah.
So I have no idea. And they have their own people and stuff. And then the signs are the high intensity, which he said we would never use the low level signs. That's only for parking lots. So I would imagine probably what we have is that.
What's the diamond do for Oklahoma Park?
It's diamond crested on the edge.
It's dipped in diamonds.
Yeah.
I think really it would be good that if the company could provide a sample between the two signs, and if the highest grade is the highest visibility reflective at night, given our lack of street lights.
Yeah, we talked about that today. We did talk about that.
I think that's definitely something to consider.
Yeah.
I mentioned, once I put in those red stripes and new stop signs, when you came down Renner and you saw that stop sign, it lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
In comparison to what was there.
Yeah. It could be that certain, you know, signs could maybe need to be that way.
Correct.
And so.
But I would say, like the no parking signs, I would be okay with those being the lowest grade ones that are there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's just my 2 cents.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
So anyway, we'll see what that is. But I was thinking about where, because really we have that, we have the beautification of Holiday Drive, you know, which, again, there's that chunk of money that's been the same number ever since for the last 4 years, we haven't spent any of it. So I just didn't know and that was beautification of Holiday Drive and the roads, I believe. So we could we,
Aaron,
would that fit?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. But since that is a reserve fund, you would need to bring the proposal to the council and they would have to agree to spend that money on it.
It feels to me like when you actually start looking at it, it's like, why wouldn't we just do all of the signs all at one time instead of going, oh, we're going to spend $6,000 now and then, you know, we'll leave all the rest of the crummy signs up and then, you know, we'll never get around to it.
Well, I think we need to wait and see what the bid is, obviously, and then decide if we can do it. And if not, do we do Holiday Drive first? Do we, you know, leave Renner out? And that's something we just need to see the bid and see how much it is. Cause, 87 signs, but, you know, you're buying the signs plus installation. Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, so many people travel for Quivira Lane also to right. that come here.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, Holiday would be our main priority.
Yeah.
Quivira, like next runner, last, yeah. personally. But
so you think by next month you'd have a complete
yes.
bill?
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll have something this week.
Okay.
So that was that. And then I do need to get back with Olson on, because I, you know, we've had some more tree discussions about, because, you know, he was having us cut down the oak tree that kind of is right in the middle of our project.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about that at the
tree. We're going to be
And so I think you and I may have talked about that too. And so I'm going to have him make a little tweak to that parking lot project.
Yeah, I think so.
And then he was supposed to be getting with somebody to do a rough drawing of the front pavilion or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So that's that. And I had something else. Oh, I was just going to report. I mean, I'm hoping that the trash area down, you know, we had such a flurry over Christmas, and they're collecting it 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And every time before I left town, every time I drive by and I look over there, it looks like it's in good shape.
I haven't had a lot of complaints lately. I haven't seen anything on social media, which is always good.
Yes.
It seems to be okay.
And then we told, the people that they can put their cardboard, street side.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And of course, the first day, one of my neighbors, I looked across the street, and their trash was full of full size boxes all over the place. Like, so guess who can't cut them all down? And kind of crazy.
Yeah, I still think so too.
We need a city YouTube channel where we post parody videos.
You know, Dave had
how to cut down a box.
Dave had an idea to do a video a year ago, and I kind of chuckled, but
I am
all for it now.
Almost there.
I'm all for it now.
Next giveaway, give out box covers.
Personalized. Kathy, can you find out a quote for personalized, like, with your box?
Yeah,
I like that. We'll do that on 4th of July. So
you can have
booze and kids and fireworks and golf carts and box cutters and just see what happens.
And frisbees, of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect. All right, Gail. Anything else? Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for coming back in town for it.
We'll be back next month.
Okay. Sounds good.
Much easier to do it this way.
Okay. I just got a couple things. I feel like every month we go over so many things that I just start checking stuff off. Lake Vera Foundation, Andy was on that call. Dean was on that call. They're still very interested in the downstream park, the spillway, all that stuff. But my recommendation to them was, let's just wait and see where this goes and see when we need you guys. Same thing with this, whole area up front here. I explained to them that we've got the design and we're going forward with it and going to start, accepting bids and that type of stuff. So again, they are extremely interested in it. Just too early to ask for any sort of a grant or anything, in my opinion. And then, they're still looking for creative ways to market to get people to realize that, this foundation is still up and running, and there's still ways to donate and stuff like that. So I think they've got some ideas coming out to get that information out to people who are new to Lake Quivira, who forgot about it, who doesn't know that it exists, that type of stuff. So
does it make sense to have a foundation member on that committee for two reasons? One, to get a better feel of where they're at financially, but two, so that they feel like they have a voice and might be more inclined to.
On the committee Bill was talking about?
Yeah, the kind of the co-op.
Yeah, it definitely would hurt. I don't see any reason why.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure we could get somebody to volunteer, but that, when I originally thought about that committee, that was something that I just thought, no brainer, somebody from the foundation, so.
Yeah. I think that's good.
But, Also, believe it or not, I think we've got a couple terms that are coming up.
It's election year.
It's election year. I think we have to know by June. Is that right, Kathy? We have to file with Johnson County if we're going to run again. So that would be myself, John, Christy, and Dave, you as well, because you are just fulfilling my term. So keep that in mind. I think, like I said, I think you have to have it filed by June. So
might even be mid-May.
I'll
email that for sure.
So, Kathy, if you just want to see what information you can get and email us.
Didn't we come on the? Oh no, you came on to fill Bill. So you—that's right.
Okay. Yep. So she's on a four-year term right now.
Gotcha.
You're finishing your 4 years.
Gotcha. We're alternating. That's right, because you were you three.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Dave came on because Bertie left.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So that's all I got. So we'll move on to old business. Consider ordinance establishing provisions regulating the harboring or keeping of chickens within the city limits of Lake Rivera. Thanks, Dean.
I believe when you said chicken.
You hear chicken and you run.
I don't blame you.
I eat chicken.
Have a good night.
Yep.
Good night.
Chicken for the chicken.
See ya.
You
move it. Michelle or Dave, one of you guys want to kind of.
Dave, do you
want to
jump in or do you
want me
to?
I can cue it up and then you can pick from there. we've talked about this a few times in session and working with Michelle on this. I think we put together, you know, enough of a ordinance that is intended to protect the neighbors of people who have chickens, basically, you know, just to have something set in stone. I think it's more meant to be, you know, kind of a reactionary type of ordinance. If somebody has chickens and they're, you know, behaving poorly, then there's something in writing that gives a neighbor, you know, some recourse to keep their own property safe and secure and clean. So, as far as the nuts and bolts of it, I'll just turn that over to you, Michelle, if that's okay.
Has any questions? Just a couple things first that I point out. Near the end of the ordinance, it's called Section 2, but it is near the end of the ordinance. It talks about the applicability. Basically, anybody who has chickens right now, we're going to give them until June to get in compliance. So if they have more than six, they would have to immediately get rid of however many. If they don't have the right size chicken coop, I mean, basically, we're just going to be reasonable and let people have an opportunity to get in compliance. We're not going to run out and demand that they comply right away. So they do have until June 1st. And obviously, you know, if somebody needs to come in and talk to us, we can visit with them about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You did get a slightly revised version, I think probably this afternoon, Kathy. Is that right?
And the agenda packed in itself. The last revisions was late in the day.
Okay.
So it is in the
Which I noticed packet. As I was sitting here, the darned date in the footer is in the middle and it's covering up the number. So we'll fix that. That has nothing legal. It just drives me crazy. So that will look a little different when Brady signs it. But if you go to page, if you can read it, 3, under property requirements and coop design, there is one section in particular that just rewrote it and rewrote it and finally got it to where legally it makes sense. It wasn't sure if it would make sense to just someone looking at it. So Fred helped me out and did this diagram that you all have in front of you. This will be attached to the ordinance, and Kathy will need to make sure we do that because it is incorporated into it in subsection H there. You'll see that. This is for illustrative purposes only. The language of the ordinance controls, but this is just to help somebody, and I really appreciate Fred pulling that together because it does make it a lot easier for somebody to understand where they can and cannot have the chicken coop.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the main changes. Just cleaned it up based on input from you all over the last however many times we've talked about it. So if anybody has any questions, happy to answer.
Well, so I was on page 2, and I was... For a minute, I thought I needed to draw myself a flow chart of how this thing really goes.
Yeah.
But when you're, number 4 says notification,
mm-hmm.
So the city's going to provide the written notification
you know, just like you do when you're building or whatever. And within 14 days of issuance, and then you have, if there's an objection, it says the license application shall be presented to the council for consideration. So, okay, so the city, so if somebody objects, then it gets presented here,
correct,
city council,
correct,
and we're the ones that will say yay or nay. Okay, but in the meantime, this is what I wasn't sure, and it talks about, it sounded like perhaps the license application, you know, then there's the license application fee, and so I didn't know if that was only after, because it says the license application in number 4 is presented to the city for consideration, and then it says that there's a license application fee, so is that after number 4?
It's at the time of application.
Which is done?
When they submit the actual written application.
Okay, number 4.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I didn't know number 6, if there's an objection, you know, so they go ahead and get their co-op and their run location approved, and or they get it all figured out and designed and everything, or is that happening after we have approved?
So if there's no objection, basically we wait the 14-day period, then they submit with the application. I think it's how we have it written. I think with the application, that's when they say, you know, this is where we're planning to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until that 14 days has passed that they would actually do any construction. Also, probably Fred is going to have to be the one to go out there and make sure the location of it is truly within, you know, this whole area that we've talked about, make sure it's not a 10-foot tall coop, et cetera. So the goal here was to make sure that they don't expend any funds until someone has said, yes, that's the right place to put it. Or, yes, you have enough room actually to put it there.
And yes, even though your neighbor has objected.
Okay, they would not do any of that until it went before the council.
Okay.
Right.
So for whatever reason, I was thinking it wasn't reading that way.
And I can double check. And it's not necessarily, this isn't necessarily chronological. I mean, it is in terms of, you know, yes, you have to apply first and you have to wait the 14 days. So which part are you?
Well, okay, and then you go to the city, but you've already applied.
Right.
And then it says, so you've applied and you pay your license fee.
Right.
Okay. And then you're wanting to get your co-op, coop and run location approval. But it sounds like we are still in the informing. There's still decisions being made. So I don't know. I just felt like there was something missing there. Maybe I'm just not reading it right.
Well, if you look at 6, let me see if that addresses what you're asking about. Because here it does talk about how they can't, they shouldn't, it would be at their risk if they commence construction before getting approval. And the city's not going to give approval if a neighbor has objected. So if a neighbor objects, then it comes before the council, and then the decision would be made by the council whether or not certain protections can be put in place to alleviate the concerns of the neighbors. So then if the council, or if there's no objection, if the city looks at it and says, yep, everything looks good, you're going to have 6 chickens, you're not going to have too many, you're not going to have a rooster, then they would go ahead at that point in time in number 6 and they could begin construction. And
okay.
I can.
Okay, so that's. I'm just reading it.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to see it at a quick glance here. So again, they would not start anything until they've been notified by the city, not only that they comply here, but if there's anything in the zoning code that would prohibit them from doing it. They would not actually start construction, purchase, and I'll reread it.
Or even designing it.
Right.
Right, and I would recommend they need to have an idea before they make their application. And Kathy had a sample from, was it Roland Park? And, you know, for their application, their brochure and everything, which was actually very good as far as kind of saying, here's the requirements. You know, we would want them to have an idea how many chickens you're going to have, how big is this thing going to be, because it has to be within this size and this size. I mean, they would need to have all that information for the application. So they would have needed to have done their homework by then, but not actually making purchases of materials or pre-made coops, things like that. And I can go through it again, Gail, and just make sure I'm not missing something. And if there's something that does not work, I can bring it back and we can amend the ordinance. If you guys want to go ahead and move forward with it tonight, if you'd rather wait, that's fine too, either way. Because I'm just, I mean, at a glance, but that doesn't mean I'm not missing something here. At a glance, it's okay.
Okay, well, if nobody else saw that.
No,
I was.
No, I appreciate you going through it in that detail. That after.
I've had way too much.
Chicken
and COVID in my life, so I'm tired of concentrating on it.
I keep thinking of Dave's joke.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to start off his presentation with another joke.
That was a fantastic joke.
Yeah.
It's called four-door.
Does that help?
Oh, visualize.
Chicken coop only has two doors because it wouldn't be called the chicken coop.
Oh,
yeah.
The chicken sedan.
You know, we based this a little bit off of, what was it, Dave? Eau Claire, Wisconsin, I think was one we based it off of. We looked at what Prairie Village did. A lot of cities around here have acreage requirements, so a lot of them don't fit into the type of situation we're talking about. So we've kind of based it off of that, but again, that doesn't mean, you know, we didn't miss something. So, again, I think your options tonight are either you can go ahead and approve it if you want to, and then I can go through it. It's easy to bring back an amendment. It would require a second publication, though. We would have to do that.
Right.
The other option is I can go through it and bring it back next month.
Because I'm a process person, when I was reading it, I was thinking of it just from a process standpoint,
sure.
Reading it as it says, but the process can be interpreted any way you want.
But you want to be careful with that. I mean, you don't want it to be a situation where people are, you know, interpreting it. You know, if it's leaving it open for interpretation, we need to tighten it up. Absolutely. I mean, ultimately, Kathy's the one that gets to tell them how they come in and do it, but we want to make sure it's consistent with the ordinance. So,
well, maybe the best thing is to just, like, work to approval that. And then if we really, if she sees anything that really just looks good, like,
I'm comfortable with that. This is up to you guys.
Yeah.
Either way, it's fine with me as well. We've just been doing this for, gosh, 5 months now.
Really talked about the plan, but this is good. And then when I first read section where it talks about number two, and then I was computing, oh gosh, I could have 12 chickens.
Well, we do have this handy dandy little samples of motion, which is a great idea because, like I told Michelle, how many times do we discuss something and we're ready for a motion and it's, wait, how do we say it again? Can you walk us through it? Can you hold our hand? So if that's what we want to do, Michelle can look over it. If something needs to be amended, she can do that. Or we can wait until next month to do this as well.
I think we do it. I think Dave earned the right to make the motion, though.
Well, I don't have a chicken suit on, and I already used my best chicken joke last time. So, I move that the council adopt an ordinance. Wait a minute, is that right? Yes, I'm going to start over. I move that the council adopt an ordinance amending Title 8 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Lake Rivera, adopting a new section, adopting regulations relating to the harboring or keeping of chickens within the city.
Well said. We've got a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passes.
I thought about having some discussion.
discussion was for fun.
I bet you did. Okay, so keeping with that topic, consider the resolution establishing fees for harboring or keeping of chickens within the city limits of Lake Quivira. Dave and Michelle, or?
I'm just reading through trying to find a reference to it. At some point in time, we are going to have a fee structure. Oh my gosh, what's it? Fee schedule. Gosh, mm-hmm. I can't think of the name of it. So this is written, I'm trying to find the section. It references either the fee schedule or, if we don't have one, which we don't yet, a resolution. So all this is doing is putting into place what the fee is, and then it makes it much easier should you choose at some point to raise or lower that fee. It's just by resolution. Doesn't require publication, doesn't require going in the code book. It's just a much smoother process if you choose to change it later. So that's all this is. And I took the fees from whenever we discussed that back in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So again, certainly can change it.
But where was the fee? Oh, I know. There was, okay, that's a fee to have a chicken, and then there's the fine that's in here that doesn't have an amount.
Correct, because that is already in our code book, and so that allows the judge discretion.
Just for chickens.
Mm-hmm. For anything.
For any
type of legal violation, which is, now that you've asked the ordinance, what this would become.
Right. And I did find it. It is in section C5. That's where it is in that.
I feel like Dave's worked so hard on this.
Yeah,
just my opinion.
I would move that the council adopt a resolution establishing fees for the harboring or keeping the chickens within the city.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor? All
aye.
Those? Okay. Resolution carries. Motion carries.
Michelle, I had a quick question, and I wanted to do this after the ordinance and the resolution on purpose. But since we came up with this after being approached by a citizen in the first place, if for some reason they have complaints about existing
laws. Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
Just curious about that.
Let's think that through. Cool. I mean, I think once they come in and make that application, if there's still, because I mean they've got 6 months, 5 months to do it.
Yes.
If there's still issues, then we probably do want to hear it.
Okay.
You know.
That's what I figured. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure that we
wait and see what happens. But hopefully, you know, through all this and
yes.
I don't know if I should ask this question. Have there been more complaints to you now?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. Just the original one that kind of spurred this whole process along.
Okay.
I just didn't know if. I believe this ordinance covers everything that was requested. However, I also know the culture of Lake Quivira sometimes that it could be a little more acrimonious than just a simple neighbor handshake.
Okay.
That's all.
Got it.
Okay.
Under new business, we have decided to delay the discussion regarding the 2021 pay ordinance. We still have a couple evaluations to do this week, and then just wanted to give everybody time to go over those evaluations and then come back for the March meeting and discuss that, probably in an executive session. So we will postpone that to March. New business number 2, consider codification services with City Code for updating and maintaining the Lake Quivira City Code. What is codification?
Organizing our city code. So each of you should have been provided a code book when you took office. There's one in the possession of the city that needs to change. You guys should have this at your hands, at your fingertips, but Michelle and I started talking about this probably a year ago, and I've learned a lot about the codification system and how important it is to have your ordinances. It's basically all of your ordinances, all of your laws organized in a user-friendly, searchable manner. And I guess this was handled in-house, maybe by Ellis, for a lot of years. And so there's some inconsistencies and things that have been found not intentional, just can happen, human error. But that's why we started exploring a company to take that over, just like Bill's talking, the importance of keeping up the emergency action plan. This is really important to keep updated and have that legal outside vendor helping us look over all of those things. And that's where City Code comes in. We checked with another company, Municode, which is very popular in bigger organizations, but they're also very expensive because they come with lots of bells and whistles and have many different tiers to choose from if you want to talk to the computer and have it think for you. To the lead that was just kind of very basic and didn't quite meet our needs. So City Code, that fell right in the middle. The upfront cost is just right around $4,000 for them to take our code, review it, look for inconsistencies, come back with recommendations. They'll work closely with Michelle. It's a legal team working with our legal team on recommendations for getting new reference material, a new index that not only makes this book easier to go through, but they'll put it online so that you, the council and the public, can research any question they have about our code, and it's right there. A really great example came up with Gail today on our dog ordinance, on our dog registration page. And in my newness, Ordinance 314 was the last one published or adopted, and that's what I had linked to that page. Well, that does not talk about breed restrictions. That goes back to the previous ordinance, which is detailed in, at the bottom of Ordinance 314, I think it's 282, which links back to another one. But this, that takes care of all this. It links them right to where they need to go. And I did change that today when I realized there was that inconsistency and it didn't spell out the breeds and just linked it back to the area that does in the code book. But Michelle can elaborate on this more and from a legal standpoint why it's important. There, so the upfront cost is right around $4,000. Depending on whether or not our planning and zoning is in a Word format, that was a piece that we didn't cover with them that we had with Municode. And I reached out today and he said if it's in Word, there won't be any additional cost to the original quote. If it isn't and they have to do a lot of manipulation, that would $750 max on the increase. Talked to Aaron and we could pull that. It, since it wasn't an actual budgeted item for 2021, there is some money in Planning Commission or court that we could use for that startup cost. And then yearly, the annual fee is $995. So then we would create a line item for that and just prepare for that annually. And that's just maintenance of the code. We send them our ordinances anytime they're adopted, and within 48 hours, they get those online. So pretty much real time. It's not instantaneously, but pretty close so that if you guys are ever out and about and it's a Saturday and you want to know, well, is this in our code, you can zip onto the webpage and have it at your fingertips.
Yeah, I've been asked several times, or I've come in several times looking for a certain ordinance, and it's sometimes just been a nightmare.
And sometimes those questions will still exist, but it's a super easy search engine, even on my end, just to go in there and put in some keywords and get right to it.
And Municode was almost double the price.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive. They're, I mean, kind of like the Cadillac version of even any type of court software. They're out there. We just don't need that.
And so like this ordinance 315 that we just passed today, for example, this would be in our system.
We're on 314, 15th ordinance in how many years in like Prairie Village. Even with them being a small city, and maybe I'm referencing Roland Park, but they're like 2,224. Yeah. That tells you how little we pass ordinances, but when we do, it's very important.
Well, the good thing about this situation that came up, the good news was that somebody, I think she's a fairly new, I believe she's at least
was
a new
wanting
resident,
to rescue us.
That in fact she went to our website and actually found the code.
They're OFLIC members and they want to eventually move out here. They are in the process of adopting a dog, and so she put on Women of LQ Facebook group if the city or QANC had any breed restrictions. And then, I mean, the comments that were coming, I was actually going to make a point of this, that I would not be surprised if we're now approached, because then once someone posted, I think it had something to do with Rottweilers and Pitbulls, then there were lots of people who jumped on the train of, that's something that they should really discuss because it shouldn't be breed specific and et cetera, et cetera. So that's on the horizon, but this all started with this person actually being a good future citizen.
Somebody, yeah.
Where the dog owner, like, thought to look breed. That's fascinating.
And then she went even into, if I do a DNA test and it comes back with it's 5% tip, let their code go into.
I like this person.
Percentages.
Oh my
so
God.
There were
a lot of people weighed in.
A lot of people weighed
I
in.
Just, you know, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, glad I didn't hear about that.
Well, and I think from a liability standpoint, too, if it's, you know, somebody has an issue and it's like, what, you didn't know to go to the purple binder at City Hall that may or may not be on the like, seriously, that's out of bounds. Like, you know,
Gail kindly commented and was like, yes, we do, but I'm sorry I can't find it right now because, once again, she looked at this
recently. So, Michelle, what else do you have to add as far as the codification system and just how important it is and how much easier it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've worked with MuniCode at two different jurisdictions in the past, and you're right, they are the Cadillac. But I will say, based on what Kathy's found with this opportunity, they're going to provide exactly what we need. I don't have any concerns about it. They have, like you say, a legal staff that's going to go through. Not only are they going to look for inconsistencies within our code, they're going to make sure that we're up to date with the most recent statutes.
Yeah.
Because that can get lost. I mean, if you're chapter on something, if you haven't had a reason to touch it in 5 years, you don't even think about the fact that, oh my gosh, the legislature might have addressed that. And so they're going to go through and do that, not only now, but moving forward.
Yeah.
That's huge right there. The other thing is, like, this ordinance, you're mentioning this one, the way that will be incorporated is similar to how it is on our code now. It'll be put in sections, and then the ordinance will be referenced. So that way, in the future, if we find that there's a better way to write that, you know, then we would just go in and just change that paragraph. The whole ordinance wouldn't have to be published again. It's just in our book. It would just be that section would be changed. So it's just, it's much more user-friendly for staff. It's much more user-friendly for the public. The online search is going to be much easier than what we have now.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, I think it seems like it's going to be a really good product. It sounds
There's
like
a page in your booklet, too, that's up there that lists all the cities that they do work for, and so we're right in that city size. Yeah. And it actually was referred to by DeSoto for me when I asked them what they thought of MuniCode, and it said, you know, it's just really a big, big.
Yeah, and it sounds like you
more of a winner.
Diamond. Aaron.
Or Diamond.
We've got funds able to do this, and then, like you said, next year will just be $9.95.
I told her now that we know that it's an annual recurring cost that it would just turn into its own line item. But
And they also do bond advisory stuff, municipal bonds. It's not as part of this, but as a resource.
Our
advisors are League of Kansas Municipalities have worked with them, so it's not just a company that is not familiar with Kansas. Well, I thought that was really important. I was looking up the literature that they're all familiar with the league, and I rely on the league for a lot.
Right.
So. Anyway, we didn't think a motion was needed to sign the service agreement and get this started, but at least the discussion needed to happen, and if you guys were not in favor of it, then...
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Yeah. We're kind of modernizing everything.
It feels like slowly.
So...
I think this is another in a long list of things that is stuck in a different decade/century than currently operating in. So,
Like I mentioned, like a third of these towns are, I mean, you can't find somebody that's not on meth. You know, so I sort of feel like we're behind.
And we're not on meth.
Right. So, I mean, that's, I guess, maybe a case for or against, I don't know, but.
I think that is a testament to how far behind we are that we have not done any of the digitization to this day.
Exactly.
Another bells and whistles with MuniCode. You could have searched in any language. I mean, that's kind of the bells and whistles that you get into, and then you pay for each of those types of features.
Yeah.
And so we don't need, you know, could have searched the code in French or.
No.
You know,
I feel kind of stupid. I've been watching this video all night, and I was like, man, how does this thing change where we're going? I didn't know it was Fred's got the remote.
Fred.
Yeah,
Fred has a
toy
right there.
Yeah,
yeah,
I realized
he's
the IT guy also.
Fred has a toy.
Where's my hats?
Just one other thing on that. You all will be presented with this nice, neat package at some point, and then you will have to take action to adopt it as your new code.
Okay.
So it's going to renumber things. It's going to, again, it'll just be a very nice package. And then what it'll do is it'll go through. I will have a chance to review it. It'll go through and however much info you want or don't want on the legal changes that have taken place, and then just the practical changes as well. So
okay.
I don't even know how
and
many.
And they dropped that ordinance. That's
yeah,
part
that's
of the
right.
package.
Yeah.
They dropped
it.
Oh, we're happy.
Have at it.
I know.
That's so awesome.
Okay.
And just real quick on the golf stuff, this wasn't on the agenda, but just I got the email today as a heads up, start getting the word out, and we will too on the marketing side. But Dog Clinic is back this year, Saturday, April 10th, 1 to 4, Old Fire Station Bay, and we're getting all that information.
And
prices
in person and all that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, we'll figure that out as far as car by car or whatever, but yeah, it's going to happen.
So. Cool.
Good. We had lots of people upset that we did not have it last year. So.
Okay.
COVID shall not stand in the way.
COVID shall not stand in the way.
We would have had a lot of people upset if we would have had it.
I know. I know.
And is the 10th, is April 10th, is that set in stone?
Yes.
Okay.
That's when Bethel can be here, and so that's
gotcha.
The date that worked out.
That is for, that's the last day of, or that's spring break for public school.
Oh,
yeah.
It is.
But,
where are your kids too?
Yeah,
that'd
be
just
on that.
Yeah,
well, summer's still in March.
Nobody gets December or whatever.
Teresa Redling?
Tira.
She's kind of spearheading this on, is it the Mother's Club or Garden Club?
No, I know that. Garden Club
is the, yeah. So she's... Yeah. And she's working with them then on the registry.
She has like the head doodle. The head doodle.
That's right. So we do not need to approve this. Right.
Not by motion.
Okay.
No.
Not by motion. Okay. I think everybody's on board. Dave, you have anything to add?
Nope. I say you open, then I start talking. Looks like Shawnee uses this. I just ran into this when I was looking for the blast ordinances. It looks like they use the same system, and it's very handy. I like it.
City code or Unicode? Yeah, they probably use Unicode data. But you're still going to have that searchable feature, just not in French.
All right. Does anybody have any reason for an executive session? No? Okay. I would entertain a meeting to adjourn, or a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Got a motion and a second.
I'll second.
Second, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor to adjourn?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed? All right, meeting adjourned.
We want to have a resolution.
Sorry, I'm
having
a long
email.
Oh,
sorry.
Don't leave the treasury report, please.
I think I did. Did you move that date over? Did you see what it was like in the middle? It just,
I'm surprised you haven't heard Katie's like her was leading the charge.